A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Initially, we investigated surrogacy here in the United States, but just found it to be really cost prohibitive for our family. So then my wife and I both happened to stumble upon the same website, a fertility clinic in the Ukraine that talked about international surrogacy. We read about Elena, our surrogate. She's in her mid-20s. She has a two-year-old daughter, and her husband is in the military. They live outside of Kiev in a smaller village near her parents. And she was, you know, very warm and genuine and caring and everything you would hope that your surrogate would be. So we worked out the contract with her. In June 2019, I flew to Ukraine to give my sperm donation. And on that same day, they harvested the eggs and then they mix them together in the petri dish or whatever. I don't actually know the science behind how that all works. But we're delighted that we would be able to bring a baby into our family. Our daughter was due in late April, and our plan was to return to the Ukraine with our two children as a family and go and spend a month there and welcome the new baby. It was mid-March. I was flying home on Friday morning back from San Antonio to Sacramento from a business meeting, and the government of the Ukraine announced that as of midnight Sunday, they were closing their borders and canceling all commercial flights. I was using Wi-Fi and texting back and forth with my wife, so I wasn't even able to talk with her about what we were feeling. The country is shutting down and we might not see our daughter until she was 4 or 5 months old. Our agency had assured us that they would make arrangements for nannies to care for the baby, but we honestly didn't really let our minds process. We were always fully committed to finding a way to get into the country. And so we were voracious investigators of travel restrictions and the pandemic. Then we tried reaching out to my congressman's office, the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, different agencies and families. It was horrifying, frankly, because everywhere we turned, nobody knew anything. All anyone knew was that at this point, there was no way to get into the country and there was, you know, no way to go get your baby. My wife, I think, was on one of the Ukraine intended parent Facebook sites and saw a comment by this gentleman in Australia, Sam. He had found a way to get one of his families into Ukraine. Sam has his own agency in Australia where he works with families like ours and connects intended parents with surrogates. And so we contracted with Sam and paid him a fee to help get me into the country. We petitioned the Ukrainian government to give me a hardship exemption to be able to come into the country. And so I ended up flying from the U.S. to Amsterdam and then to Minsk. I sat squeezed into my corner with my mask and flew into a country I'd never been in and started my journey. And then I had to walk across the border. The taxi pulled up in Belarus. It was pretty empty. There was just a gate or the guard shack. I was literally saddled with all kinds of luggage that you need when you have a baby and you don't know how long you're going to be stuck in the country. I had some clothes, diapers, car seat, backpack on my back. I had a relatively large knife, and I had close to $20,000 in cash. Finally, I had my little folder with my papers from the Ukrainian government. I presented what I had and tried to explain in limited English what I was trying to do. They checked my passport, I checked all my stuff, and then they let me through the first gate. So then, a quarter of a mile or a few hundred yards down, there's an inspection point. They had me empty all my pockets, they went through my luggage. They spent a long time looking at my paperwork and making calls, and finally I was allowed to pass, and I walked across the Belarus border. Sam and his agency had arranged a driver that came up from Kiev and then picked me up between Belarus and Ukraine. And all in all, the two border crossings took about an hour and a half. And then the driver that Sam had arranged drove me to the apartment that I had rented, where I quarantined for 2 weeks waiting for our daughter to be born. Our daughter was late, so Elena invited me over one evening, and it was really neat. I mean, it's very awkward in that she doesn't speak English and I don't speak Russian, and so all of our communication was via a translation app, but it was nice to meet her in person, and she was, you know, very warm and genuine and caring and really concerned, really healthy, and really doing all that she could to take care of our baby. And then Tuesday, Elena had some contractions and a little bit of spot bleeding, and then went into the hospital. At that point, she was a week late, so they kept her in the hospital, and then eventually they induced her on that Friday morning, the 8th of May. And so I caught my Uber over to the hospital, and the nurse took me upstairs. They wouldn't let me in the room during the birth, given that I was a man and not related, it wasn't appropriate for me to be in there. But literally, I walked in the room and they had just cut the umbilical cord. As soon as they wiped her off a little bit, I was set down, they had me disrobe, and I was able to hold my daughter on my bare chest. And fortunately there was Wi-Fi, and so I was able to FaceTime with Michelle and the kids, got them out of bed, even though it was about 1 a.m. in Sacramento. We were just able to share in that moment. It was a huge mix of emotion. There was no mistaking that it was a pandemic, right? So shortly after the birth, I was escorted out of the hospital and I wasn't allowed to return. She had a little bit of jaundice, and so they kept her in the hospital longer than normal, but she was discharged on May the 12th, Tuesday. So they'll get out of the country. There were no scheduled flights, and there was no way to go through that same process of walking across the border carrying a baby. So fortunately, 1 week following the day she got discharged, I was able to make a flight out of Ukraine. As it turned out, that was their last planned repatriation flight. So had I missed that, I don't know. There's still not commercial air traffic in and out of Ukraine, as far as I know. People say, at least when your daughter's a teenager and she gets angry and yells at you and says, "You don't even love me," that we can be assured that we'll have the best comeback to her at that time. On the one hand, you could go, "Holy cow, that was an awful lot to do to go get your daughter." But on the other hand, I just sort of shrug and say, "But what else would you do, right? It's your daughter."
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.